Okay, it is April, and we're starting. And joining me in the studio is Zach Byram with the Clear Creek Conservation District. I was so afraid I'd say, let's
It's been a couple years now since we, it was a year and a half
well,
or so.
Well, it was
so.
Right before I left. The name change came into effect, but I was still afraid I'd say the wrong thing.
Well, and understandably, you know, it was Lake de Smet for so long, and you know, we still get mail that comes in that says Lake de Smet Conservation District, and
yeah.
We've just kind of, I mean, we understand that it was around for that name was around so long that that people still associate us with that, but I don't. Maybe you've noticed, maybe you haven't, but we did change all the signs on the interstates.
I saw those. Yeah, yeah. So in agriculture with USDA, you know, I was hired as Agricultural Stabilization Conservation Service (ASCS), and it took a while to adjust to Farm Service Agent or FSA, mm-hmm. especially answering phones.
Right.
And my cohorts, my partners in Soil Conservation Service had that just went to a Natural Resources Conservation Service, NRCS. So it's name changed all the time.
Yeah,
so.
And yay acronyms.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So
we were on Fetterman Street, and at the end of October, we moved over to 500 West Lot Street, which is kind of between the Grease Barrel, mm-hmm. Where you get your oil changed, and the entrance into the emergency room at the hospital. Evidently, it was the old clinic in Buffalo years and years and years ago, but that was before my time here. But yeah, 500 West Lot Street, we're going to be Unit B. We're currently residing with the NRCS, which moved as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we followed suit. We moved with them. They're also at 500 West Lot Street. But here in the next couple weeks, Mandy and I are going to be moving again, same building, just to a different part of it.
Okay.
So we're just waiting for some little bit of renovations to finish up, a little bit of carpet and some molding, etc., and then we'll be moving just across the hallway, basically. So
okay. Change, constant change.
It's always something. Yeah, it's always something.
So you've got something coming up here pretty shortly.
We do. Wednesday of next week at the Fire Hall from 10 to 2, we are sponsoring and hosting a healthy soils workshop. The presenter is going to be Marlon Winger. He works with NRCS as a soil scientist. And kind of to summarize the workshop, Marlon's position is to assist producers to really begin to understand their soils and what makes a healthy soil and what kind of practice principles they can apply to their ag land to help the soil remain healthy if it is a healthy soil, mm-hmm. or also some practices they can do to help increase the health of that soil. So he'll talk about different practices, and then a lot of the elements that go into a healthy soil. You know, there's a lot of folks, and understandably so, but a lot of folks think that dirt is soil, and they're actually two different things. You know, dirt is a neglected, unhealthy soil, where soil is actually, and it's really amazing the biology in a healthy soil. It's amazing what's actually going on in a healthy soil. So Marlon will give some demonstrations. He's a very, very dynamic speaker. I've attended a couple workshops that he's presented at, and one of the best presenters I've ever watched.
Okay.
You know, he has a lot of good stuff to say, but he says it in a way that most academic folks can't say. You know, a lot of times you feel like they're talking over you, mm-hmm. whether they know it or not. Marlon presents it in a way that's really, really relatable to producers, and a lot of good stuff. He resides in Rolling Hills, Wyoming, which is just outside of Glen Rock.
I was going to say, where is Rolling Hills?
North of Glen Rock, basically in a giant sand dune. and he has quite a successful garden. And this workshop's not about gardens per se. I'm just saying that he knows what he's doing if he can grow crops in a sand dune.
Well, that this is going to be helpful to ranchers and farmers, but also for people that try to raise a garden right here in town.
Yeah, absolutely. The same principles apply across the board. This particular workshop is for everybody. It's geared a little more towards the producers, the farmers and ranchers, that especially those that put up hay or any type of crop for their livestock that they may feed in the winter. But that's not to say that the backyard gardener wouldn't be able to take home some good aha moments as well. Mm-hmm. Like I said, the same principles apply across the board, just on a different scale.
Is this a new program that you've done, or you've tried to do this before?
You know, we've had some soil workshops in the past, but this particular one is new in that there's a fair amount of new science and new technology available that's really brought some interesting things to the forefront in terms of soil and soil health. And so the NRCS is actually currently kind of ramping up their soil side of things and starting to provide some assistance to different practices that go along with soil health. So it's kind of a forefront of some stuff that's to come. Mm-hmm. And like I said, that there's the NRCS feels it's important enough that they're going to be providing some monetary assistance to producers that may want to try to implement some of the practices that we'll be hearing about on Wednesday.
Okay, so it's Wednesday at the fire hall, and what time is that?
10 to 2. And we would love for folks, if they want to come, we would love for folks to RSVP. If you RSVP, you get a free lunch thrown in with the free workshop. So it's kind of hard to beat two free things.
Right.
But if you'd like to RSVP, we would love that. And you can get a hold of us at 684-2526, either extension 3001, that's mine, or Mandy's is 3002.
Okay. Well, they can stop by, which is around 500
West Lot. You just walk in a door and say you're looking for Zach.
You didn't have a flyer with you, but you can find it on your Facebook page, right?
Yep, you can find it on our Facebook page. You can find it on our website. Or feel free again to call us and ask us any questions.
Yeah, you know, the social media is fantastic, because anymore, if you want to find somebody, you Google. And it comes up, and you have a number of choices of where to find what you're looking for.
Right.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, and it's funny. I mean, I Google stuff all the time, but, you know, I'm talking about the new technology and the new science that's out there, and, you know, social media is pretty amazing. But I don't do social media. I don't have a Facebook page. I don't have Instagram. I don't do any of that kind of stuff. So whenever we're in the office talking about it, Mandy is our go-to social media person. She's the one that does the web page and the Facebook page, and which is nice, because I like to keep my hands out of that kind of stuff. I like to fly below the radar.
Yeah, my wife doesn't have a Facebook page or anything like that, but so I see some cool stuff. And like I just talked about this morning, I invited our listeners, if they have any comments or if they don't want to call me, they can put something on there. So
there's a myriad of uses for it. I just prefer to personally stay out of it, but it's been great for implementing different things that we do at the district through social media.
Yeah. So what else has happened with Clear Creek Conservation District these days?
Well, we've got a fair amount going on. You know, our annual tree program, we're smack dab in the middle of that. It started about the third week in November, and we'll be taking orders, at least for the bald and burlap products, we'll be taking orders through the middle of March for those. And then our container products and the bare root seedling type of products, we'll be taking orders for those, I believe, through the first week of April, and then the container ones into the second week of April. And all that information is also on our Facebook and website page.
Okay.
In fact, you can download the order forms on our website and fill them out and either email them back to us or just swing by and drop them by the office. But so that's going pretty good. You know, like I said, we're right in the middle of it. As always, I think the earlier that people come in and order, the better opportunity or the better chance they have to get what they want.
Mm-hmm.
One of the nurseries in particular that we use is really down on the number of species that they're offering this year, as well as actual numbers of those species. So the sooner people get in, the better.
Yeah. Is there a reason for that? Is that,
you know, I don't understand kind of their business model. It seems like it ebbs and flows. You know, some years they'll have lots and lots of species and lots and lots of product, and then the next they're down. Maybe it has something to do with the weather where they're at, or they're holding stock back for the future, or maybe they had some issues with bugs or something. I'm not sure kind of what goes into those ebbs and flows, but this year seems to be a bit of a down year for them.
So the best thing is if you want a particular species, you probably should do it fairly early.
The earlier, okay. The better, yeah. And again, to remind people, those are conservation grade trees, and so we're able to get them in at a much more reasonable price than you could, say, a nursery stock or a nursery grade type tree. But really, the only difference is those conservation trees may have a fork at the top rather than a straight main trunk. And when they're grading them at nurseries, they can't sell that one as mm-hmm. as a higher cost nursery grade tree. So we're able to get those. It's the same tree. It just might not look as perfect as what you might find at a nursery somewhere else. But
right.
But that also makes it so that we can provide those trees that generally two thirds or three quarters less than what you'd find somewhere else.
Yeah, I don't want a perfect tree because if it's not perfect, it reminds me that I'm not.
sure. Great husband.
Yeah.
We have some projects kind of on the back burner that we wanted to implement this past fall, but for a handful of different reasons, we weren't able to get those going when we wanted them to. It's a fairly large project that we're going to be doing along Clear Creek and some of the irrigation outlets there. We're going to be kind of working with the NRCS to rebuild some of the structures that have been wiped out in the mm-hmm. in the floods. Like I said, there's been some reasons that we weren't able to implement that this last fall when we wanted to, but it's something that will happen this coming fall. So look forward to talking about that. We're starting to work on what I'm calling a rural living or small acreage guide. So it's going to be kind of a magazine type of output, or where we're going to go through all the different facets of small acreage living and make it specific to Johnson County. That's one of the bigger sectors. As I read the paper yesterday, it's talking about age dynamics, et cetera, and we're getting more and more people that are coming here and retiring, and a lot of those people are buying small parcels of acreage, whether it's 5 acres or 40 acres. And so that's one of the biggest growing sectors in Johnson County is the small acreage owner. So we're hoping to be able to provide something to people that answers questions that they have about their small acreage, whether it's helping them determine the number of livestock they can have on it, because a lot of people want a couple horses or some livestock or whatever the case may be. But if you're coming from Iowa and you're used to being able to put a large number of animals on a small number of acres, well, you can't do that here in Wyoming.
No, it doesn't work.
And that's a simple example, but we'll also have information in there pertaining to irrigation on small acreage. As I said, grazing health, soil health, how to be a good neighbor, things like that. It'll just be a kind of a guide to help people that may have questions about their small acreage and don't know where to go and look for those answers. So
okay.
That'll take a few months to put together. And then once that's out, we'll have it printed out and available at our office, and we'll figure out a way to make sure that we can get that to folks online as well.
Okay. And you mentioned before we went on the air that there's a pretty exciting November. You're
yes.
hosting a pretty sizable
yes. Yep. So
conference.
In November of last year, so 2018, we put in a proposal to host our annual Wyoming Association of Conservation District State Convention. It's an annual deal. We put in, and We put in what I felt was a really strong proposal. We worked closely with the Chamber of Commerce as well as several of the hotels in town to kind of get the ball rolling on that. And I think with their help and then some of the things that Mandy and I had included in the proposal, we found out either Monday or Tuesday of this week that we did indeed win that bid or the proposal. So Buffalo will be, or Clear Creek Conservation District will be hosting in November of 2019, our state's annual convention. And so we're going to be bringing in roughly 130 to 160 folks into Buffalo, into the hotels and the restaurants. And we hold, you know, different types of meetings, et cetera, et cetera. But there'll be around 150 people here for a few days in the middle of November.
That's a big boon to the economy there.
Yeah. You know, we wanted to do that. And we also felt that Buffalo, and not that other places in Wyoming don't, because they sure do, but Wyoming has really, really great history and some really unique opportunities for people to see. And just because people live in Wyoming doesn't mean that they've been here to see that. You know, and I felt that at our convention in November, it was in Evanston. The only other memories I have of Evanston is when I was growing up in Laramie, we would drive to Evanston to play football and soccer, and that is a long way to go, you know, especially on a bus. And so that was my only memory of Evanston. Well, when we got there, but we got there, and Evanston has done an amazing job of putting time and energy and money into their history around the railroad that they have, and it was really incredible to see. And so that got me thinking, you know, Buffalo's got amazing history as well, and so we're hoping to tie some of that history and culture into the event that will be here in November.
That's exciting. And where's it going to be held?
Well,
at the Civic Center?
We're going to spread it around.
Okay.
Because, you know, that was one of our concerns, was that, you know, although Buffalo is an amazing place and has lots of good things, we're not quite big enough to host that number of people all in one spot at the same time. But then you start thinking about it. Well, how many places in Wyoming can, honestly? You know, Casper can, Laramie can, Gillette and Cheyenne can, but there's not a ton of towns in Buffalo where you can have 150, 160 people in one building at the same time for a single event, where we have breakout sessions. So, you know, like for a dinner or something, we can have everybody in one place.
Right.
But for different meetings where you can choose to go to this meeting or that meeting, we don't really have a spot like that. So we are going to be using Bomber Mountain. We're going to be using the Hampton Inn. We're going to be using probably the Carousel. We're going to be using a couple other places around town. And so one of the things that the Chamber said they could help do is help with transporting people, maybe on a trolley, maybe they can bring down from Sheridan or something, just to make it a little fun or a little different for folks.
Well, I like the idea, because people like from Evanston and other parts of, maybe have just been to Buffalo a couple of times, they get a chance to see more of our town.
Right, instead of just going to the same spot for the 3 days and then leaving.
I like that idea. Yeah. So evidently, the powers to be like the idea as well, because you got the award.
I think so. You know, and one of the other things we had talked about trying to do is a miniature poker run, but just in downtown, to introduce people to the different histories that we have downtown, and then obviously end up with their hand of cards at the Occidental to play a hand, because as everyone knows, the Occidental is one of the places in town that's got incredibly rich and deep culture and history.
That's right. To it. You know, a lot of stuff going on with the conservation district, and again, before we go to commercial and close off our conversation, Zach, let's give the information again on next Wednesday's event.
Yes, so Healthy Soils Workshop next Wednesday, so that's January 16th. It's from 10 to 2 at the Fire Hall. If it's something people know they want to come to, go ahead and give us a RSVP at 684-2526. Extension 3001 or 3002, and if you just show up, that's fine too, but those that RSVP will have a free lunch with you. or for you. The workshop itself is also free. And again, it's about practices and principles to work towards healthy soils on your property.
Okay. Zach, it's great to have you back on the air and everything.
It's good to see you again, Mark.
And we'll regularly have you on. I made up a list for Jennifer. Say, here's some people that want regular guests on the show, and you're on that list. So don't hesitate to come in when you have things to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm always a little nervous to be on lists, but I think this is probably safe.
Zach. About 12 minutes. Thanks, Zach.
Thank you, Mark. I appreciate it.
We're going to take a break.